Okay, now's my tie straight. Is that going to distract anybody? I understand it's been a real distraction to everybody, my tie being crooked. So, at least you're looking this way. Some of you are. Romans chapter 8, verse 17 and 18. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be able also, that we may be also glorified together. There we go. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, that's a sweet verse right there. All right. Well, it'll just be worth it all when we see Jesus. There's a song that says that, but you need to really work on having that kind of attitude about everything. It'll be worth it all. No matter what happens, no matter what we got to go through here, Paul said, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Nobody should expect to get through this life without suffering some things. We want to know him in the power of his resurrection, but the next line says, in the fellowship of his sufferings. The apostles, they went out rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name's sake. To suffer, I mean, he suffered. And if we suffer with him, then we ought to rejoice about it. It ought to be a blessing to us that we're counted worthy. Life's going to have that in it, no matter what you do, no matter who you are, no matter what your standing is before God, you're going to have suffering in your life. It's part of this, part of the deal, part of living here, part of being a pilgrim here. Been thinking about that. I'm just a pilgrim. Not here to stay. Just passing through. And so, we're told clearly that if we're going to be glorified with Jesus, then we must suffer with him also. How in the world could we know him in the power of his resurrection if we didn't know him in the fellowship of his sufferings? He suffered for us. He still suffers. Yeah, he does. The reproach that he suffers in this world is terrible. The things, you think they treat Trump bad, they treat Jesus worse than him. They hate him. They hate Jesus worse than they hate Trump. That's right. Much more. The things we suffer here all have one thing in common, and that is that they seem unjust. When you suffer, you don't think you deserve it. I don't care what you are. It's a rare thing when somebody really is honest and they see it that way in their own self that, well, I deserve this. No, most of the time, we don't think we deserve it. And we feel like we're being treated unfairly by God and everybody else. That's one of the common things. We can always look around us and we can find somebody who really deserves to suffer what we're suffering. And they go free. But we suffer what we don't deserve. Now that's the attitude that most people have. Shouldn't have that attitude if you're a Christian. You ought to have the attitude and the knowledge and the faith to believe that God, nothing comes your way that God don't know about first. Anything that happens to us came past him first. He's not just leaving us to the wiles, to whatever happens. No, he careth for us. Yes. That's what it said. Casting all your care on him, for he careth for you. That means he watches after you. And he does. And so we have all asked this question, why? Have you ever asked the question, why? Why does this have to happen? Why did this have to happen to me? Why? Or why does it have to happen to somebody else? Why my child? Why my wife? My husband? You know, why? People ask that question. Seldom is there any obvious reason or logic in the suffering of a Christian. You're just not going to figure it out. God is the author of all this. He's the one that's sovereign. He's the one that works in our lives to make us what we ought to be, what He wants us to be. It's God that worketh in you. And so, it's more complicated than our little pea brains can figure out with what knowledge we have. We look around and everybody likes to play God and look at everybody else's life and say, well, you know, it ain't no mystery to me why that happened to them. You know, years ago people, they had this thing about chastisement. They talked about that a lot more than they do now, that God chastens those that are His. He chastens, He corrects His children. If you're not, the Bible tells us in Hebrews that if you're not chastened, you're not one of His sons. You're not a child of God if God don't chasten you, correct you when you're doing wrong, when you're heading in the wrong direction. And so people got this thing where they just look around and somebody's house burned down. They say, well, I know why that happened. Boy, they've been a-sinning. Well, you sound just like Job's friends. And they didn't get nowhere with God. They ended up bad thinking that way. No, what I'm saying to you is we just can't figure this out. That we can't put our finger on or explain why a Christian suffers. Other than he's partaken, it's the fellowship of the sufferings of Christ. Life's just got it in it. It don't matter. We get saved, but we're not saved from suffering. We've just got a God. And we've got the Holy Spirit living in us. And we've got the comfort of the Word of God and the Spirit of God where we didn't have it before. I look around at people that are not saved. And I have people that I went to school with. And people that I've known all my life. And they're ungodly and they're lost and they don't know God. And they go through their troubles and their health problems and their diseases and their troubles of life without God and without any kind of comfort. And I don't know how they... I just can't imagine being there. We say a thing on the way to church here tonight, and there's another preacher, missionary, put this, you know, this deal about Romans 7 again. And I told her, I said, I just can't imagine if I'd never learned any better than that. If I was this far along and I was still thinking that way and didn't know any better. Praising God for my defeated life. I just can't imagine. I'm just so thankful, not that I don't think that way anymore, that I know better, that God has brought me out of that. But boy, listen, it didn't come without a bunch of suffering too. Ain't nothing. You don't get gold out of the ground by just walking out there and picking it up off the top of the ground. That's a dream. That don't ever happen. You got to dig for it, don't you? Anything that's any of value, you've got to dig and search for it. It takes work, and it takes time, and it takes suffering. Now, there's just not any reason. Sometimes it seems totally out of place and useless at the time that it's happening. We never understand. Somebody dies at a young age, and we just think, why? You know, it just doesn't make sense from where we sit that a person should be cut off in the midst of their days. When they were doing good. And when life seemed to be, you know, that people around them needed them. And God just took them out. Or puts them on their back. And takes them out of the race. You know. And we just don't understand it. We just think, well, now that ain't right. That ain't fair. This just don't seem like the best thing to do to me. Because we think we're as wise as God. Really? Come on. That's kind of what it is. We really do when we think that way. We need to just trust God. That's what my whole message is here tonight. You need to get this mindset, this view, this conviction in your mind and heart of the way you think about suffering and the bad things that happen to us and the hard things we got to go through and the troubles we have in life. You need to have a view of them that's different than a lost person. Amen. You ought to be, there ought to be an optimistic look about everything, don't you think? If you're a child of God, Don't you think you ought to be optimistic about it? Instead of, whoa, no, this is the end. I'm done. I can't. Oh, I tried, but I'm just. You know, Dorothy's going to have to come out of that. My goodness, she gets defeated real easy. I'm telling you what. The ball didn't bounce right today or whatever it was. I mean, that was it. She's down on the floor, boo-hoo. I made fun of her, and that made her even madder. She went behind the couch and had a real meltdown then. But Christians shouldn't act like that. Not when you know what the Bible says, and if you believe it, well then, man alive, cheer up. Animo. Well, you don't even know what that means. I don't know why I said that. Likewise, there's seldom any obvious reason or logic in the suffering of the lost. We can imagine that it's because of their sin. And sin certainly does bring suffering and death. But trouble and suffering are common to all men. So we can't even explain why it's happening to them. That's right. We see, I've known people that just lived like the devil and did every mean thing to every person they could do anything to, and they just went on and on and on, and nothing ever happens to them. They don't get sick. I mean, the psalmist saw that too. He said, the wicked, he said, their eyes stand out with fatness, and they have more than heart could wish, and there's no bands in their death, and they just live, and nothing, everything's wonderful for them. But he said, I was just about ready to give it up. Until I went into the sanctuary. And then I remembered their end. So he got his view back adjusted right. He was looking around him like Peter was looking at the water around him in the storm, and he sunk. Long as he had his eyes on the Lord, he could walk. Well, the same way the psalmist. While he's looking at all these worldly people living their life of frolic and fun and plenty, while he's suffering, he said, surely I've cleansed my heart in vain. Why am I living like this? Why am I trying to live for God and all I'm having is trouble? And they don't have trouble. Well, that was the wrong way to think. When he went back to church and got back close to God, he saw. Oh no, they're laughing right now, but they're not going to be laughing later. I'm suffering right now, but I'm going to be living at rest. My rest comes later. It's what Abraham told the rich man. He said, son, in thy life thou hadst thy good things, and Lazarus didn't have nothing. But now he's comforted, and thou art tormented. You see how things turn around? Lazarus had it rough, laying at the rich man's gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table. And the dogs licked his wounds. That was a poor, pitiful life. But the angels came and carried him away. And he was comforted. You need to understand that about yourself, too. This is just a short little thing. There ain't nothing to it. Just blink your eyes a few times and life will be over. Here. And then real life begins. And it ain't full of trouble there. No. Yeah. There the wicked cease from troubling. I mean, there ain't no more of that. Ain't no more trouble at all. There remaineth a rest for the people of God. The sufferings of the present time, they can be pretty heavy. Loss of health and mobility. We take all that for granted. But just, you know, I mean, every once in a while, something happens to somebody we know or some kinfolks or something, and we see that they're, man, now they're in the bed and they can't get out of the bed, or they're in a wheelchair and they can't get up. And, you know, Esther sees it at the nursing home often. You know, there's people in there in their 40s and younger in the bed, can't move. Man, that's a terrible thing. I mean, it's a terrible thing to even be in a place like that. You get used to your life where you can just go to the refrigerator and get what you want. If you take a notion you want to go to town and get a hamburger, you can go to town and get a hamburger. Go to the grocery store and buy you what you want to eat. Do whatever you want. And all of a sudden, you got to ask somebody for a drink of water. You got to ask somebody for everything you need. So life has its troubles, and they can be pretty rough. Loss of loved ones or long separation from them. You ever think about some of these people whose loved one has been a prisoner of war or missing in action? These people, there's people from even World War II still missing in action. They don't know whatever happened to them. They always live with that thought of maybe they're alive. And sometimes they are. Yeah. I was reading a story here. Well, it's been a while back now, but it was a guy in Vietnam, Raymond, and he was still there. They thought he was dead, but he stayed over there and lived with them people and was hid out. And he's still alive. But think about it, being separated from your family like that for long periods of time, that's pretty rough, ain't it? Going to jail. I've known people who went to jail for years and years and years. I know people who went to jail for life. Yeah. Pretty rough, being separated from your family. That'd be a rough deal. Loss of earthly goods for which we have worked a lifetime. My goodness, I've seen that happen too. Work all their life and scrimp and save and be frugal and careful and gather up a little pile of money, and then before they die, it all just evaporates. Taking care of paying the nursing home bill. That's pretty much of a bummer, ain't it? Well, that's earthly life for you. You going to lay up your treasures here? Beware. That's what will happen to them. No matter what you do, that's what's going to happen to them. I saw today where old Mr. Amazon Bezos, he's divorcing his wife. Already got him another woman. You can buy women with money real easy. Richest man, they say, ever. Going to have to split it with her, $130-some billion. I don't know. Would you like to have his money? You can't have his money without having his life. You know, the kind of life he's in. I don't want it. No, sir. I'd rather have my poverty and God and a future that's sure and steadfast than all that, because all that's going to go... I mean... If you live long enough, you'll see it. What do you think is going to happen to all that money? Yes. Betrayal by loved ones and others, toil and labor that seem endless, and persecution for doing right. All these things are suffering, and we all have to do it. But we got to do some reckoning about it all like Paul did. We got to take all things into consideration and not focus on the suffering. What was that thing we saw this morning, Terry? It said, have this attitude about going to, don't say, I've got to go to work today. Say, I get to go to work today. Don't say, I got to go to school. Say, I get to go to school. I get to get up and go. Yes. If you have that attitude, now you need to think about that. That's what I'm talking about here tonight. You can do it. Yes, I get to. I could be paralyzed. I could be sick. I could be dying. I could have cancer and be facing the end right away. You know, we could be starving. Been reading that book, and I told her that we was looking at all the kids there lately. Was that yesterday? The kids was at the house there, yeah. I said, how would you like to have your children like this and not have anything to feed them? I mean, and not know where you're ever going to get anything. And everybody hungry and starving, starving. Not just hungry because they ain't had nothing to eat all day. They ain't had nothing to eat for days or weeks. And you ain't got nothing. Think about that. How would you feel? Looking at your children and nothing to give them. See, we need to be thankful for such things as we have. And we need to be content with such things as we have. And because we ain't never had to suffer like that, have we? Look at us. We're all fat and sassy. Yeah. We're not liking. We could go a while without eating before we started. I mean, it would hurt us, our hunger would, but it wouldn't hurt us too much physically because we got enough to go for a while. So we got to take all things into consideration. In order to reckon properly, we got to enlarge our vision and comprehension of things. Now, as long as you're just thinking of your little life and your home and your job and your family and just your day-to-day things, as long as that's all that's in your view, you're not going to be very happy at the best. And anything that comes along is going to upset you real bad. But if you'll expand your view and look beyond all that, if you'll just look at the world around you and realize how good you've got it and how merciful God has been to you, that'll cheer you up right away. But then if you'll just think on past that and the fact that this life, when it's over, and it could be any moment, that eternity is awaiting. It's a reality. It really is, you know. I mean, people would face death so much better if they could just get their mind adjusted right while they're healthy and it's not in sight. If you really believe that God's in heaven and He's preparing a place for us, for you, and that when you die, you're going to be present with the Lord, to be absent from the body, you're going to be present with the Lord. He said, "For we know that if we're absent from the body, we're present with the Lord." He knew that. Do you know that? I mean, do you really know that? Is that just a settled fact in your mind, just as well as the sun's going to come up in the morning in the east? Is it that much of a truth and a fact to you? Well, if it is, then that, boy, that really takes the sting out of the suffering. No matter how bad it is. I've seen people have to suffer, I mean, really bad. And stay cheery in their soul through the suffering. And I know in every case, I know why. Because they were looking beyond this. They knew that this was temporary and that there was an end and it was not far off, and if that's what, once I get past this, there's bliss forever. We got to look beyond the present circumstances. We got to look beyond the present bounds in which we live. We have to know something of what eternity holds for us. It's like we talked about here a while back, preaching on heaven. You need to think on that subject quite a bit. The old timers did. And it was their hope and help while they had a hard life. You know, in the Depression and in the war and all of that, people really did have it rough. And they found hope in God. Thinking of eternity. When you're right with God, you got hope for eternity. The trouble is, we're trying to give everybody hope for eternity without them being right with God. Sin's the problem. You're not going to heaven in your sin. That sin's got to be taken care of. Something's got to be changed. That's why this message of we're all sinners is so wrong. Sinners are not going to heaven. The redeemed are going to heaven. And that's a confusing message that's being sent out there. That no matter what, you can have this hope of heaven. You know, I see a lot of people, and this thought of going to heaven when they die, that's helping them to get through their suffering and things, and they're not going to heaven. Say, well, who are you to judge? Well, I mean, you don't have to be a rocket scientist. Read your Bible. Tells you real plain that adulterers and fornicators and thieves and liars and all of this, they're not going. It tells us that over and over very plainly and names them. So heaven's not going to be full of sinners. Heaven's going to be full of redeemed people who were saved from their sin and lived for God, and yielded their members unto righteousness, and offered their body a living sacrifice, whole and acceptable unto God. That's who's going to be in heaven. So if you're one of those tonight, you really do have a hope that's steadfast and sure. If you have believed in Christ and you have repented of your sins, then and He has saved you, and He's manifested Himself to you, and His Spirit bears witness with your spirit that you are the child of God, well, then you got a hope in heaven. You can really get through the troubles a lot easier. We got to realize that what we are experiencing now is temporary, while what awaits us in the future is eternal. Well, there's a big difference right there. Temporary or eternal? Forever. We can't even imagine it. Our mind don't even work in that realm from where we're at right now. That's why this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. That's why that when He comes, we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We're going to get a glorified body. Yes. And a mind that can reach out and grasp this thing that's we're just now seeing through a glass darkly. Yes. And in part. But then we'll see it all together. Until we come to the conclusion that it'll be worth it all when we see Jesus, or we just not learn to reckon right, like Paul. He said, I reckon. Now, reckon is to calculate, you know? It's to figure it all out. It's to, you know, set it in its proper order. He said, I reckon that the sufferings of the present time are not to be compared, see, with the glory that shall be revealed in us. He thought it all out and he said, well, this is the way I see it, this is the way I figure it. And it's right, the way he figured it. Once we have learned to reckon right, we'll be able to live in peace and have the strength to endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Just like so many have before us. There's been a lot of people that's come before us, and they did, and they learned how, buddy. They learned how to get through. Do everybody good. If you just turn off Facebook and read some of these books and stories, oh, there's so many of them. I know we've got some back here in the library that we've tried to fix up back here, and those books are back there. You can go back here and get some of them books and read them. And they're kind of sorted out into categories like that, so you can find them. I always liked reading that kind of book, biographies and stories about people. And when I was a kid, I'd read every one I could get. It inspires you. It encourages you to hear other people's stories, and it humbles you. It readjusts your thinking again to realize. One of the things you realize is there's always a way. I mean, no matter how black it gets and how dark it gets and how hopeless it seems, there's always a way. If I could tell anybody anything, you know, if I was looking at, well, we had a little experience the other night, you know, with some people and this young woman is so, I mean, my goodness, just totally hopeless. Suicidal and depressed and all of that. You know, if I could tell people like that anything, I just want them to get this. There's always a way. Don't you think about just the end. No, it's not the end. There's always a way. A way to keep going. Yes, I believe that. And I know I can tell people that, and it's true, if they would just believe it. I reckon, he said, that the sufferings of this present time. Well, what was Paul suffering? What were some of his sufferings? Well, they beat the ever-living daylights out of him over and over and over. They stoned him and thought he was dead. He was dead. Yeah. And not just once. Thrice? I mean, it was multiple times that he suffered all of these things. People hated him. People lied about him. Alexander the coppersmith did him much evil, remember? These other false prophets were withstanding him, fighting against him. Every time he turned around, there was just trouble, trouble, trouble. I mean, he had trouble in his life. Bad trouble. They ended up cutting his head off. He was a prisoner. Prisoner. On a ship. Prisoner in Caesar's house. Him and Silas was in prison one night. Remember, midnight they sang psalms to God. And the prison doors came open. Remember? I mean, troubles. Troubles. If you was in jail at midnight for something that unjust and you didn't belong there and they just throwed you in a dungeon, chained you to the wall, I mean, you going to sing? Is that what you're going to think about? Are you going to mumble and complain and cry and feel sorry for yourself and threaten everybody and look for a lawyer? Follow his example. He said, "And you ever been in jail?" Nope. I ain't either. Not. I mean, I've been in there, but not as a prisoner. There's a big difference. When I went in, I knew I pretty sure I was going to get out of there in just a little bit. Different thing when they slam them doors and you don't know when you're getting out. But suffering, I've never suffered jail, never been stoned, I've never got beat up for preaching or anything like it. Nobody's ever done that yet. And if he can say, I reckon it's suffering. And then he talked another time, he said, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. See the outlook he had? That's what I'm trying to get across to you tonight here. That's the way Paul thought about it. I mean, I don't care if they stone me. I don't care if they beat me. It don't matter. This is temporary. This ain't going to last. This is just a quick passing thing. I'm looking on beyond. He was just like the rest of them that were looking for a city. Had his eyes on eternity and home. You know how it is when you start on a long trip, and home is a long ways away. And what are you thinking about? Well, you're thinking about home. Well, I'm going to be glad when I get home. I'm going to be glad when I can lay down in my bed. And I can be at my table in my house. Home. Well, that's the way you live your life as a Christian, too. Home ain't here. This is just not home. Is it home to you? No, I'm just passing through. That's another thought I'm really thinking about. But anyway, all right, let's stand. It's good medicine for us if we just take it. You can say, well, you just don't know all the trouble I got. Well, I don't believe you got any more trouble than what Paul had or any others that we could just go down the list and name them all. And we're so far behind them that it's pathetic that we would even let out a whimper. What do we suffer? What do we suffer, really? If we don't get what we want, when we want it, we think we're suffering. Oh my. My, my. It'll help you. It'll get you through harder times ahead if you get this in your mind and start looking at things this way. How you do it? You look at eternity. You got to keep your eyes on eternity. You look above all this commotion and cloudiness. Get above the clouds. Look out there. On the rainiest day, I mean, if you ever been on an airplane, the rainy, nasty day, and I mean, you can take off, and in just a matter of a few short minutes, you're above the clouds. And the sun's shining. I remember that one time. Just all drizzly and rainy and covered up with clouds and dreary. And just in the next few minutes, man, you're out above them and the sun's shining. And you look down and you think, boy, look what's going on underneath all of that. How miserable everybody feels and what a mess it is. They're all wet and raining, but it ain't up here. So if you just remember that in heaven there's never any pity parties. And there ain't never no sorrow or crying or tears or sickness or pain or anything like that. It'll cheer you up knowing that you're going there. Well, they ain't even going to have no cars and trucks there. That'll take care of a lot of our sorrows and troubles, won't it, Sam? That's true. Biggest part of our suffering is because of all of our junk that we got to drag along with us and keep it running and keep it going and keep paying for it. And we got to keep struggling to get the money to pay for it and buy another one and buy some more. And that's what all of our suffering, for the most part, is about. Oh, vanity, vanity. Amen. I say it pretty often, but if you want to help yourself too, go visit hospitals and nursing homes and places like that and see. It'll help you every time. It'll help you to go away saying, oh, thank you, Lord, that I can still walk, that I can still see and talk. I still got my mind. I can go and I'm free to move. It is readjusting. Make you quit complaining. Feeling sorry for yourself. Yeah. Even if you do hurt, you can still go. That's better than not being able to go and still hurting. Amen. All right. Well, bow with me. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the good promises and the facts that we know about this whole deal. That this is just temporary. And this old world, man is born a woman, is a few days and full of trouble. Their suffering is as sure to life as life itself. None of us ever going to get through this world without a good dose of it. And Lord, I pray you'd help us. Thank you for the hope that you've given us and the knowledge you've given us and the assurance through your word of what lies ahead for us that know you. For those who are the children of God, there does remain a rest and a place that you prepared so that you can come and receive us unto yourself, that where you are, we may be also. And Lord, we're longing and looking for that day when there won't be any sickness around us, and there won't be any death, and there won't be any crying and pain and suffering and lack. Lord, we'll all be, won't it be wonderful there? Oh, yes. And I pray you'd help us to have a mind that thinks in that realm. I don't see how we can be a faithful witness for you or even a good Christian at all if we don't have this kind of outlook on our lives, our troubles, and the things around us. Help us, Lord. We love you in Jesus' name. Amen.